Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where that middle wall of separation has come down between Jew and Gentile to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. I've got a question for you. The prophet Daniel says that the scrolls will be understood in the time of the end. In other words, God's people will understand the last days. And so my question to you is, what if much of the scenario you've heard in, say, the Dallas School of Theology approach to end times, or even the Left Behind series for the end times, the premises are wrong? If that is true, will you be prepared for the end times? I don't have any doubt that the hour is striking midnight. We're in the last of the last days. And I got hold of a DVD series called Islam and the End Times that will change the basic premises based on the Bible of the end times. And I have on the telephone Joel Richardson. Joel, you were probably taught the Left Behind scenario of the end times, just like I was and most of the people that are listening. However, you were in an audience of 7,000 people, 7,000, and a prophet was speaking. What did he say?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on, Sid. As you mentioned, several years ago, I was in an audience of 7,000 people, and as this prophet was speaking, he literally called me out by name and, with a little play on words, specifically named my first and last name, asked me to stand. And among all of the different details that...
Well, he did get your undivided attention when he zeroed in on your name.
Absolutely. And, you know,
and he had no way of knowing you or anything about you.
Had no way of knowing me. I had never met him. Had no way of knowing that I was there. And then specifically got my attention because he began addressing issues that I had just concluded an extended fast. I was praying about specific issues in my life. He spoke to those issues, and then he concluded by saying, in the days to come, the Lord is going to give you a revelation. Because of your days of waiting on him and an intercession, he's going to open your mind to the scriptures. And really, it was shortly thereafter that I began to get a revelation of many of the things that we're going to talk about today and many of the things that I've been traveling and teaching on since then.
Now, you are what everyone should be, an intercessor, because that's our job as ambassadors from heaven on planet Earth. But sometimes when the spirit of travail comes upon you, you told me that you're almost like a light bulb going into electricity. Explain that.
Well, I think, Sid, anybody that has given themselves to intercession has experienced those moments of travail where literally the Lord takes a drop of his heart and imparts it to you, and you can feel his brokenness for the earth and for the lost and for the broken. And over the years, there have been times when during prayer, during intercession, the Holy Spirit has come on me. And, you know, this is difficult to describe to the unbelievers, but literally I've felt electricity surging through my body that is just as real and just as tangible as if I had stuck my finger in an electrical socket. And, of course, the only difference is that it doesn't hurt. And sometimes this energy would be on me so powerfully in prayer that it would almost be as if I would believe that if someone looked at me, they could see it. You know, it's that strong. And this is, I believe, moments of impartation where the Holy Spirit is tangibly coming on the human spirit so strong that the body actually reacts.
Now, I'm going to take you back as a young man. You were raised Catholic. Would you call yourself a nominal Catholic or a very religious Catholic?
We were very nominal Catholics. In fact, I was one of the few kids that I know that was actually kicked out of Catholic Church as a kid, and my CCD class, the catechism class, actually voted me the most likely to end up in jail.
Well, then I can understand that you're a young man, and there was a tent revival going on. You went there, but you went there for not the reason the evangelist wanted. You went there because it was very, very hot. Explain.
Well, a friend of mine and I, we were 19 years old. We were traveling across the country, and we had no air conditioning. And we pulled over to this grocery store just outside of Memphis, and there was a good old-fashioned tent revival meeting set up in the field next to the grocery store. And we had been wrestling, saying, you know, we need to go somewhere to wash up. We've been driving for 24 hours, and we were considering going into a McDonald's bathroom and locking the door. I mean, you know, we were trying to figure out how to do this. And suddenly we saw the tent revival meeting, and I had the bright idea. I said, why don't we just go get baptized? And, you know, of course, we thought that was clever. So we went and asked the preacher if he would baptize us.
Now, the reason you wanted to be baptized is because you're getting cold water. Is that really true?
Yeah, I mean, we were hot. We wanted a bath. We thought, hey, free bath. And, you know, by God's grace, some of the folks that were there began talking with us and inviting us to stay, and we did. And what happened that night changed my life forever.
Tell me about it.
Well, again, this was your very typical Southern holiness tent revival meeting, and there was a lot of prayer for the sick, and many people were claiming to be healed, but you must understand, I was a skeptic, and if there was one scenario that I thought, you know, you could find a charlatan, it would be at a tent revival meeting. So I was really watching with a skeptical eye until one gentleman went up and got prayer, and you could visibly see that he had his eyes were blue or you know, gray. He was blind, and they brought him up to the front, and the evangelist prayed for him, and he said, "Can you see anything right now?" And very hesitantly, the man said, "I think I can." But then he left the stage, and this is what got me, is that he didn't stand there and make a big show. He didn't, you know, yell and hoot and holler, but he walked off the stage, and it was evening by this time, so it was dark. And very quietly, he walked off into the parking lot in the field amongst the cars, and I followed him out there. And as I slowly came up on him, he was kneeling down in the grass, and he was absolutely sobbing like a little baby. He was probably 60 years old, and he was sobbing like a little baby, and I walked up to him, and I asked him, I said...
But why did you follow him? What was your motivation?
Well, I'm a truth seeker. You know, I might have been a rebel, but I was curious. I wanted to know if this was for real, and for some reason, I was just drawn to him. I think the fact that he didn't put on a big show, but said that he was healed, caught my attention. So I followed him out there in the field, and... You know, we talked for a while, and he sort of got a grid on where I was coming from. And I asked him, I said, so you're telling me that you were blind, and now you can see.
How long had he been blind?
If I can remember correctly, he had been blind since he was a young child.
So this is a long-term thing, then.
Most of his life, and he was looking up in the stars. He had his hands up in the air and weeping like a little baby. He said, right now, I can see the stars. I can see the stars. And I knew at that moment that this man was not lying. He was not putting on a show for anybody. He went out to be alone, and I followed him. And I realized that I had a decision to make. And, you know, with a new attitude, I went back into the meeting, and I listened to the remainder of the message. And the preacher was speaking on the axe at the root of the tree has been laid, and he was preaching a very hellfire type of message. And during that time, the Holy Spirit came and encountered me powerfully. And he spoke to me, and he said, if you don't completely give your life to me right now, then you will end up in hell forever. He said, your entire life is a complete lie. And my response was, absolutely, you are absolutely correct. I know, my whole life is a lie.
Well, when it came time from the altar call, you went up. Why did you? You came in as such a skeptic and not even interested in anything spiritual.
Yeah, well, you know, interestingly, I think what followed after this admission on my part, yes, my life is a lie, it was really sort of a bartering session, where I began to negotiate with the Lord, saying, okay, Lord, well, you know, I'll do this, but I still want to have, you know, this in my life, and I'll do this. And very patiently, it was as if the Holy Spirit just sort of hovered there and folded his arms and just waited for me until about half an hour later. I said, "Okay, it's done. Everything is yours. All of the junk in my life, all of the nonsense is gone. I'll give it up." I didn't understand the gospel. I didn't even understand the cross. I just said, "Lord, my life is completely yours." And again, having no grit of understanding for any of these things, I immediately started a 3-day fast. But I didn't understand that you're not supposed to fast 3 days without water. So I did a 3-day fast, no food and no water. And so that was the beginning.
I did that once. I felt like I was going to die. But go ahead.
It was terrible. And then when I finally had that glass of water, it's hard to describe. The water was painful to my throat. I was in absolute agony. For the rest of the day, I was just laying there feeling like I was going to die. But yeah, you can do it. And I was actually working construction at the time, so I was out in the hot sun building houses. It was terrible.
Now, going back to that prophet, and there were, 7,000 people in the audience, like, called you by name. What did he say would happen in the days to come?
Well, specifically, he said, "The Lord is going to give you a spirit of revelation into the scriptures. He's going to open up things to you." And, you know, of course, I didn't know what that meant. But, you know, really over the past several years, as a result of my reaching out to the Islamic world, reaching out to Muslims.
And I can see how you were literally prepared by God, living in the Middle East and reaching out to Muslims and even studying Islam. You can see how you were prepared to get this revelation of the end times.
Right, exactly. And, you know, before I married my wife, I'll throw this one in. There was actually a woman that was a prophetess that was ministering to my wife, and she started prophesying about her future husband. And she said, "And he is going to have significant insight into the end times."
Well, let me tell you, I have read the information on your DVDs, Islam and the End Times. It is the clearest explanation of the end times I've ever seen. And things you say that are controversial, they are biblical. They make so much sense. I want to make this available at a very low price. 3 DVD series available for donation of $30 or more. Islam and the End Times.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.